spies. If you got good bait, here a little tip that I'd like to relate. I said, man, the fish pie, if you got good bait, I'm going fishing. Mama going fishing.
We all going fishing, too.
Well, it's me and Leaf here on the radio with a little fishing report, and it's been a while, actually.
We've had too long.
We've had the darndest time trying to get our schedules all together, but...
Well, I was going to talk about the fact that this is that time of the year.
You're busy.
You know, well, you're busy, too. We're all busy. The whole Methow is just... We've come out of hibernation, and it's time to get busy.
It seems funny to talk about being out of hibernation when it's almost like 100 degrees out, but I know what you mean. Yeah, we won't. Well, maybe we will talk about that being 100 degrees.
Yeah, it's due to be 100 degrees, and that matters.
It does matter. And I mean, the last many, many times we've talked, it was kind of fishing as usual, but the weather has continued to be warm and warm, and that always affects the bug hatch, and that affects the fishing.
Right. And it did kind of get hot there. Uh-huh. It was about 100 degrees, and then. It turned the dry fly hatch right on for this nice early dry fly hatch. But then all of a sudden it kind of just, chilled back out and moderated just a little bit. So so did the bite. And we kind of had to go subsurface as much as we were going with the surface. But today and yesterday, from what I hear from my fellow guide, Sarah, boy, we've experienced some great, finally just full-on dry fly action.
Oh, good.
And, you know, we started out the morning with a nymph rig, and I just thought, you know, this hole right here is just too fun to try a dry fly rig on it. Uh-huh. The first one we tried it on was just like, bam. So we stuck with that for the rest of the day, and it yielded great, great returns. Uh-huh. Yeah,
it's really something, isn't it? How it all works together in great, big, giant clockwork of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
How the bugs, no matter when it is, I mean, even in winter, there is something coming to the surface. There's something hatching.
Absolutely. And I'm just like, I just find myself every time bug geeking out more and more now. Uh-huh. You know, people are usually looking at the sights and splendors of the Methow and everything, and I'm find myself the same, you know, but also looking at these bugs like, did you see that one right there? You know what that was? Oh my gosh, you know? And it's, you know, just kind of one of my latest big interests is to watch those cycles. Yeah, absolutely. The entomological cycle around here is just amazing.
Well, I'm glad to see you diversify and be excited about something else on
besides
the water.
Besides ichthyology.
Hey, it is what it is. That's
So it's definitely that time, you know? I mean, we had great luck. Still using those stimulators. I did test out that bigger Chernobyl today, and had a couple come up and peck at it, but none of the big guys. And the yellow stimulator proved to be the bug of the day. And I was just looking at those yellow sallies that have been coming off the golden stone flies, and just thinking, you know, they're kind of liking that golden, the yellow, you know, that cast right now. And so just stuck with that, and got into some really nice cutthroat. One right off the bat there in the top of our float, and a few other nice fish throughout, and then. Right there at the end of the day, the one I was telling you about today.
Speaking of big ones.
Whiskey Rock, you know.
We really should let people in on some of the interesting stories that you come in with. I mean, there's hardly a day goes by.
Yeah, or
a
something time, didn't happen.
Something didn't happen. Yeah. But you've had a couple of these.
Yeah, just in the last 24 hours, two significant Salvelinus confluensis attacks. You know,
bull trout.
I hate, you know, yeah, a lot of people that get really into loving on them hate calling them bull trout, you know, but they need to come up with a shorter, common name for them than.
They don't want to call them bull trout.
Yeah, they don't feel like it's as beautiful a name as it is a fish.
I see.
You know, and I understand what they're saying, but they definitely act like a bull. Holy crap.
That's right. Now that, and that's, well, describe one of, you've got two stories here in the last couple of days, but maybe pick one of them and describe how they act out there, because it is, you're going along fishing and you generally have a client and, you know, so you're showing this guy or gal a good time on the river and then all of a sudden something happens.
And, you know, I guess both would have a commonality between the two yesterday and today. Yesterday, you know, I was fishing. Today, my client was fishing, but in both cases, the fish seemed to kind of, like you said, spaz out. You know, they're getting caught, they're fighting, and when they see that movement, I mean, they could spend all the time in the world in the hole with that fish looking at them, but as long as they're swimming, being chill, being normal, they're all safe and good if they stay up there in their rocks, and the moment they see something twitch or get funky, they go and they try to stomp on it. And so usually if a fish runs into a certain part of the hole, I'm like, oh, you better stay out of there, and I'll try to get them out of there. You know?
You're starting to get a sense of
right.
Where
I'm like, that's not a place to run, dude.
Yeah.
And then today it was kind of unexpected because we were towards the head of the hole, and my client got into a really nice cuddy just above Whiskey Rock there on the stimulator. And he was, you know, we kind of threw down the anchor, and finally the flows are coming down to where I can just stop right when we get into a fish. And uh-huh. if it's not a giant one, we don't have to chase it. We'll try to take it there. And it was a moderate, you know, good-sized fish. And and so we started to bring it in. And, yeah, the moment it started really freaking out, I noticed it was running a little too much. And then, sure enough, right as I was thinking, is it getting chased? It came to the surface, and something giant came out, zipping after it just on the surface, jaws open. And I was like, dude, we had 3X on, which I usually do for people that are just getting used to it.
Yeah.
Because it's a little stronger. And I'm like, we got the line strength. Let's get that little girl out of there. I'm like, pull, dude, pull, get that thing in the boat right now. And then we got her in the net and out of the jaws of death.
And you can see the water swelling
up
behind
it. Oh, it was amazing. And he thought so too. I was glad he saw it because I told him yesterday's story and I had kind of prepped him for it, you know. I was like, it's no kidding. They might attack. And he was like, it's one of those.
It's funny,
isn't it? I was like,
it's
no BS, man. They attack.
Well, you know, you see other animals act like that. I mean, you
it's a lion, or
even chickens will peck on something else that looks odd. You know,
oh, you're getting weak. I'll go ahead and help you over the limit.
Yeah, something that's built in, and apparently these fish, and if you don't know what we're talking about, I mean, these are a native fish that have been here forever.
Beautiful,
and they're a little bit different, but they're related, aren't they? Related to salmon and trout?
They are a char, actually. So they're more directly related to like lake trout. Trout, brook trout. They're an older species of what would be the same family tree, but further back down there with their own branches. And one of the things I found remarkable was that their eyes are situated closer to the top of their head. Mm-hmm. So they're used to looking up. They sit there at that third of the way or three quarters of the way down the hole or fairly far down the hole, and they just kind of grip that bottom with these dorsal fins that I've never seen before, like climber's shoe toes. Like if you've ever seen climber's shoes, they're kind of this really purchasey rubber that will kind of grab like mountain goat hoofs or something. And they'll literally grip a rock like a crocodile and just sit there, like we were saying, and wait for somebody to slip
anything
blending in with the bottom.
Anything that can't quite keep up with the flow, and they'll catch them down at the bottom of the hole.
Yeah, anything going by comes within what they think is ambush distance, chomp. Gone. Yeah. And they've evolved to do what they do, and they do it remarkably well. And I think they're just a beautiful, beautiful fish, long lived because they're a char. You know, they live into the teens, probably 15, 16 years old, I think is where they would top out here. Whereas you're kind of like, you know, your rainbows and your cutthroats are going to top out more at that, you know, 8 to 10 to 12 years old at the most. So they're a little longer lived, and they need that, just like cutties, that nice, cold, clear quality water. So take care of that water out there.
Yeah, always. And we're talking a pretty big fish, too.
They're right. Oh, yeah. The biggest ones we've seen are within closer to 40.
Really?
Bigger than a lot of the summer Chinook you'll see come up this river. They are just a remarkable, beautiful, beautiful fish.
Yeah. And we should say, if you happen to hook one by accident, you got to handle it carefully.
Yeah, keep them in the water. Just get that thing out of there as soon as you can. Don't be taking, you know, hero shots with it out of the water. Just get that hook out of its mouth. Try not to get bit, because I've been bit plenty of times in that case.
And, they do have a big mouth.
If you can save the cutthroat from its jaws, I figure it's not fair because you're catching it. So if you can do that, maybe toss that little cutty over into a safe spot and release everybody unharmed as much as possible, including yourself, because I'm serious. They got teeth.
All captives released.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, good story. Thanks,
Hey, Leif. Well, thanks. Anybody, you know, if you want to hear a story, you need a tip, or you want to book a trip, just give me a call at 509-429-7298 or check us out at flyfishersproshop.com and Methow Fishing Adventures. They'll keep our blog up to date and keep you in the know so you can get your fish on.
If you got good bait, here a little tip that I would like to relate. I said, man, the fish pipe, if you got good bait, I'm going fishing. My mama going fishing, baby going fishing too.